This morning we're going to look at the book of Nehemiah. If you would open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1. And we're continuing in our series, Conversations with God, and we're talking about prayer today. And I really want to speak to you today, looking at Nehemiah 1, about intercessory prayer, praying for the needs of those around us, of other people. I think we radically underestimate the gift of prayer and the power of prayer. I do anyway. I'll speak for myself. Maybe you guys don't. There's oftentimes that I'll hear believers who've walked with the Lord for many, many years, usually decades or more, and sometimes say, you know, I don't know why God has me here. I don't understand what my purpose is. Maybe they've been really active serving in the church in some way, and they can't physically keep up and do that any longer. And so they say, you know, I don't get it. Why hasn't God taken me home? What can I do? I was reading about a missionary, John Elliott, and when he was 85 years old, he was still ministering. This was a long time ago. It was to the Native Americans. He was for many decades, had been faithful, sharing the gospel with Native Americans on the East Coast. And a friend said, John, isn't it time you retire? You're 85 years old. You've been doing this for 60 years or whatever. Isn't it time you just let some younger people step in? And I want to share with you his reply to that comment. He said, my understanding leaves me. My strength fails me, but thank God my love remains. And I think that's really key. I think that really ties in with God wants from us in prayer, that he doesn't need us to be brilliant scholars. He doesn't want us to be necessarily physically vibrant, that if we can just trust him from our hearts, if we can love people enough to pray for them and believe God for what we're praying, that's the greatest ministry there is, and anybody can do that. It's a ministry that we don't ever outgrow, and so I would just encourage you today, maybe you have felt like, I don't know what I have, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm too feeble, or I'm too this, or I'm too busy. You know, if you can take a moment just to love God and love people and to pray and believe God, God can use that in incredible ways. We're going to see that with Nehemiah today. So I'm sure you guys are familiar with the Good Samaritan parable. And Jesus talked about this man. He was robbed. He was beaten, left by the side of the road. A Levite came along and ignored him. A priest came along, ignored him, and then this Samaritan, you know, of all people, the Jews look down on the Samaritans, the Samaritan comes along and he cared for the man. He treated the wounds, he bandaged him up, he helped care for him, he took him to an inn, he gave them money, he said, care for this guy, help him recover, I'll take care of it, whatever the expense. And he was willing to love and to care for somebody in their need, and you and I can do that. You know, I think God works through compassionate hearts and actually gives us that compassion, his compassion for people. And then he works through that in tangible ways, I mean, through sharing a meal, but also just through a simple gift of praying for somebody, for offering to pray. And so just a little background here with Nehemiah. Nehemiah, that what we're going to see here, it took place around 444 BC, and he is a Jew living in Persia. He lives in the palace. He's a cupbearer. Does anybody know what a cupbearer is? Dishwasher? No. What'd they do? I'm the dishwasher at my house. No, he was a cupbearer. Anybody know what a cupbearer was? They tasted the wine, right. So one of the really unpleasant traditions with the Persians was poisoning people if you wanted their job. And so, yeah, being a king, I mean, you had to really look out to make sure you weren't poisoned, and so you'd have people taste your food, you had people try your wine, and so it was a very prestigious, I mean, it's dangerous, yes, possibly, but it's a very prestigious position. Now, as you can imagine, if you're going to be a cupbearer, and the king was King Artaxerxes, kind of the obvious, right? King Artaxerxes is only going to have a cupbearer that's like somebody he wants to hang out with. Because he's going to be around all the time, right? So it's going to be somebody that is intelligent and good-looking and articulate and maybe cultured in some way. And so it's somebody you want to hang out with, that you want to be a friend and you trust them. And so Nehemiah was that for King Artaxerxes, and it's a position of influence and responsibility. So just a little more of the setting here. So the Jews had been in exile with the Babylonians, and they'd been allowed to return back to their homeland if they wanted to, about 100 years or so before what's happening today in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah probably could have chosen to go back to his homeland, but he didn't. He wanted to stay there and be a cupbearer for the king. And so he chose to stay there in the palace. Now, I believe God probably prompted him to make that choice. God had a purpose in all of this. So God is intentional. I hope you guys know that. The people that Nehemiah was around, God had a purpose in those connections. Do you know that in your life? Like, it is not on accident that you have the people in your family you have, the neighbors, the church family, the co-workers. It is God's intention to do something for his glory within the midst of that. And so we're going to see that God's intentionality this morning. And, you know, God has things that he wants to do in you and through you with the people in your life. And part of that is praying for them. But he does that often through causing us to have compassion, that we have a burden for people, that we share in what they're going through in our heart, and then that stirs us to pray the way God wants us to pray. And Nehemiah is a man who cared. He cared for the people back in his homeland, and so they're hundreds of miles away in Jerusalem, and even though they're far removed from him, he deeply cares for his people, and so he wants to know how they're doing. And I believe that that's God's compassion. You know, God works through people who care. God works through people who care. And he can do that through me and you this morning. I think that's kind of foundational. Would you say that with me today? God works, through people, who care. God works, through people, who care. We need to lay hold of that today. So let's see what happens when we care enough. Here in Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 1. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, Nehemiah says, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani and I, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah, so they've come from the homeland, from Jerusalem. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. Verse 3, they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down. The gates have been destroyed by fire. First thing I'd like to recognize this morning, when you care enough to ask, Nehemiah is a cupbearer, right? This is like a celebrity today that you would see on TV who lives in Hollywood and hangs out with all these people who have no idea who you are, but you know who they are, right? I mean, he's a celebrity there. He's got position, he's got wealth, and so these people who are struggling, he probably doesn't even know the name of most of them, but he still cares. They still matter to him. It wasn't his fault that their situation is bad. He didn't do anything that caused it, right? It was the people's sin, actually their ancestors, a long time ago. They had sinned, they rebelled against God. God had judged them and took them to this place of exile. But Nehemiah had the same heart for the people that God has. In Jeremiah, in chapter 15, you're welcome to turn there if you like. I've got it on the slides. But Jeremiah 15, verses 5 and 6, it's a really interesting passage. And I think it really ties into this. Jeremiah the prophet is pronouncing just horrific judgment from God upon the people. And in the midst of pronouncing this judgment, I want you to see verses 5 and 6 here. In the midst of their wickedness, he said, who will feel sorry for you, Jerusalem? This is the Lord's. Who's going to feel sorry for you? Who will weep for you? Who will even bother to ask how you are? Nehemiah did. Exactly. Many years later, God raised up a man named Nehemiah and put it on his heart to be that man who would care, who would ask, how are they doing? To weep for them, to care for them, to pray for them, to ask how they are. God gave Nehemiah a compassionate heart for those people. He cared enough to ask. You know, you and I, we need to care enough to ask. when we come across people, it's easy to be just going with what's, you know, your plan. I had a plan yesterday. I walked into a coffee shop. It'd been a crazy busy week. And I thought, I've just, for me, some of the coffee shops can be a quiet place for me. And so I'll go there just to have time with the Lord, be in the Word. And I went there thinking, Lord, there are miles to go in Nehemiah before I'm ready to speak tomorrow. Would you give me a place of quiet? And God gave me something better. God gave me the reality of this more than the abstract thoughts. He gave me the reality to where there were people there that I got to say, how are you doing? It doesn't, you know, I'll get to that later with a sermon. How are you doing? And for me to care, and for them to care for me, and what a beautiful thing that is. And God uses that. He blesses that. Well, the people in Jerusalem, they're not doing good, right? Once Jerusalem had been a mighty city, that it had been revered, and people all over spoke about what a beautiful, majestic city it was, but now it's in ruins. The people are in contempt, and they're downtrodden. So Nehemiah, he would have known that. You know, he would have known that it had been destroyed, but since the people had gone back and they had permission to rebuild, he really didn't know at this point, like, okay, did they rebuild the gates yet? Are the walls halfway done? You know, how's the completion going? And what was shared with him was nothing good's happening. They're in distress. You know, you and I every day, just like Nehemiah, have the same opportunity to care about people as we intersect. God has a purpose for the particular person who's working the checkout when you're going through the checkout. The person who's sitting next to you in a pew this morning, God has an intentionality. The person that you're bumping into there as you walk into work. And it's an opportunity just to say something simple like, how are you? And then taking time to really listen and hearing what they have to say to that. It wasn't idle curiosity. It wasn't just like, maybe there's something juicy going on, you know, maybe I can get some dirt if they, it wasn't that. He deeply cared. And so, and we see this here in verse 4. When he heard this news, he said, I sat down and I wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. Second thing we need to recognize today, when you care enough to weep, when you care enough to ask, you stop, you set aside your plan for the moment, ask how somebody's doing, and then emotionally allow yourself to be engaged in what's going on. You know, maybe you weep with them in the moment if they're really going through it, and you take time to really weep with them, to care for them. You know, it's been said, and I think it's true, that the things that you laugh at and the things that you weep about say a lot about your character. You know, if you laugh at things that are maybe the misfortune of somebody else, that says something pretty negative about you. You know, if somebody is going through a hard time, maybe they're behind in the bills and the car's getting repossessed, and I've actually heard people laugh at somebody they didn't like. Yeah, saw the tow truck out there and they're getting theirs, and what a terrible, terrible thing. It says something about your character, what you laugh about, but also what you weep about. You know, sometimes for me, I weep about or cry about really trivial things in my own life, right? Personal stuff for me that really isn't that significant, that I'm like, oh, I didn't get what I wanted with this, you know, thing that really is kind of inconsequential. But we need to be ready to have God's heart for people. You know, God weeps over the things that we weep about. He cares for us that way. You know, with Nehemiah, I think his weeping, his crying for the needs of others, it's a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness. You know, it's the same thing with the Apostle Paul wept for people as a sign of his strength. You know, the Jesus wept for people. It was a sign of strength. And so the same way that we need to have the strength to be willing to weep with people. It's easy to want to turn away from burdens and afflictions. You guys ever have that where you don't ask somebody how they're doing because you know that there's a bunch of mess? And so you're like, I'll ask when things are going better and I'll praise with them, right? No, God wants us, even when it, you know, when we know things, it's like, man, I know that they're having trouble with their kids and I've got somewhere to be, but you know what? I need to ask. God's putting on my heart, how you doing? What's going on? We need to have that willingness to enter into the mess and to weep with people. Nehemiah knew he had to do something. When he got that news, his heart was burdened. Verse 5, then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down on me. See me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying your commands and decrees and regulations that you gave to us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place that I've chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Nehemiah cared enough to pray. He cared enough to really pray. He didn't just get the information and be like, ah, sorry about their luck. No, he took time to pray. When you care enough to pray. And I love the way that Nehemiah is praying here. He's praying as a man who trusts God, who believes God, who takes God at his word. He trusted God, he's dependent upon God, and he's praying that way. This is a Scottish author from long ago, George MacDonald. He said, in whatever man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed miserably. Nehemiah knew that to succeed, to do anything at all, the first thing he had to do was to not go to the king, not try to formulate a plan himself. He had to go to God in prayer. He knew that he was dependent upon God for success. And he begins his prayer with praise. I encourage you, if you don't know what to pray, praise God. Just start with praising God. That is a good default. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. The Jewish people, they are facing a desperate and dire situation. There is a great work that needs to happen to rebuild the walls at Jerusalem and to rebuild the city. But Nehemiah knew, he said, you are a great and awesome God. You are bigger than this problem. So before even addressing the problem, asking anything of God, he just recognized, God, you are greater. Your mercy is greater. Your goodness is greater. Your power is greater. And he knew that God is a God who not only makes a covenant, but he keeps it. If God gives you a promise, guess what? He's going to keep the promise. If God makes a covenant with you, he's going to keep that covenant. That's how I know when I go to bed today, I'm going to go to bed saved. And how I know tomorrow when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to wake up saved. You know why? God is faithful. God keeps his covenant. No matter what I do or don't do, God is faithful. He had promised to bless Israel. And so Nehemiah brings that up. He said, God, I know you. You have promised that if we would repent, if we would return to you, if we would confess our sins, and he doesn't say those people who were struggling. He said, me, God, starting with me, I confess. I confess I fall short. I sin against you. I confess my family fails you. He started with that repentance with himself and saying, Lord, I'm your servant, but I'm disobedient. And I'm grateful for your mercy that it's greater than my sin. And he knew that promise. He claimed that promise to forgive and to restore the people. How do you know? Let me ask you this. Let's say that after this service, because I want you to personalize this, let's say that you go out and somebody does something, crosses you in some way, irritates you, treats you unfairly, and you just lose it. You just, in the moment, you're frustrated, you're tired, and you're just like, and you're just, and you start yelling, and you sound like anybody but Jesus in the moment. How do you know that God's going to forgive that? He said he would. He said that if you will confess, he is faithful and just to forgive, right? And cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He always keeps his word. God always keeps his word. And so Nehemiah, he knew that. He knew that if I will confess to God my sins, the sins of my family, the sins of my people, God will forgive and he'll restore. Verse 11, O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was a king's cupbearer. Nehemiah is praying with confidence. He's praying with confidence, not that he's got the right words, but he's got the right God. You know, he's praying. He knows that God is going to hear, God is going to help, and he knows that he's going to do that. He knows God is faithful. You know, there are times that God needs to discipline his people, right? The Bible says if he doesn't discipline you, you're not his kid. Anybody else ever get disciplined other than me? I'm so grateful for the discipline of God. I would be off in who knows what kind of darkness if God wasn't a good father who cared enough to discipline me. But when he disciplines us, he does not forsake us. He loves you enough to discipline, but he loves you enough, he never leaves, he never forsakes. And that's what Nehemiah is saying. It's like, your people are your people, and I know you're going to do good. The people you rescued by your great power, the strong hand, are your servants. And then I love this. Nehemiah cared enough to volunteer. He cared enough to volunteer. By volunteer, I don't mean like who's going to be on the roster for VBS 2025. Anybody, by the way, anybody going to volunteer? Go ahead and sign up. Okay. Make note of that, somebody. No, I just mean that he was ready to be part of the answer for the prayer. He was ready to say, here am I, Lord, send me. God, I'm asking you to do something for your people, and I'm willing to be inconvenienced for you to do it. And I think God honors that when we care enough that we pray for somebody, that in that moment, sometimes God's like, okay, I want you to do it. I want you to help. And that we care enough to do that, to be the person who sees to it that God's will is being done because he prompts us to do that. Ephesians 3:20, wonderful verse says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work where? Does anybody know? Within us. At work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or imagine of him. God works through his people to bring about his will. And that's what Nehemiah knew. He was ready to go to the king, no matter what the response would be, and to say, okay, God, I'm asking you to help your people, but I'm willing to be, even if it's kind of dangerous for me to do so, I'll go to the king if you make a way for me to do that, if you prompt that. God's mighty work within those who are praying. You think Nehemiah was comfortable and safe there in the palace? I think so. Very safe, very comfortable. You think he was going to feel safe and comfortable going to Jerusalem, where they have no walls and no gates and enemies are there ridiculing them because they know they're completely wide open for attack? Crime is rampant. I mean, it's dangerous. And Nehemiah says, I'm willing to leave comfort behind. I'm willing to forsake that idol of comfort. I'm willing to forsake that idol of safety. I don't need that. I want God to use me. I think when we pray that way, one of the ways you'll know is that God will give you a burden for somebody. He'll make it to where you've got to pray for him. You have to care because he's going to weigh it on your heart to do that. And as you do that, he'll increase that burden and increase that burden until you respond. And he'll give you a vision, what you need to do, how to be an answer for that prayer. So Nehemiah, he volunteered to go to Jerusalem to lead the rebuilding. He didn't argue with God. He didn't say, it's not my fault they're a mess. It's not my fault the walls are broken down. He just said, no, Lord, if you would use me in your mercy, I will go. 52 days, the walls are rebuilt. The gates are restored. The people are rejoicing. I'll invite you just to read the rest of the book of Nehemiah for yourself. It has a wonderful ending to it. But it all began here in chapter 1 with one man who was willing to care. To care enough for other people. God is looking for the same thing today. With his people, with you and me, God is looking for people this morning who care enough. He's looking for you to care enough to ask somebody, how's it going? How's it going? And to really listen with your heart and really let your heart be affected by what you're hearing and to really love and to pray and to be willing to be part of the answer for that. So maybe you've been wondering, why does God have me here? How can I be doing something that matters for God's kingdom? Prayer, and I think it was Spurgeon maybe who said this, but prayer is not the thing that empowers the work of the church. Prayer is the work of the church. Prayer is exactly what we're called to. That is the one offensive weapon we have. Let me ask you this morning, are you able to love somebody? Are you able to love? Are you able to care about people? Are you able to pray? Are you able to say, how's it going? How are you doing this morning? Can you do that? Then God can use you. God can work. There's people all around us who maybe some aspect of their life or another, the walls are broken down. The gates have been burned. The enemy's been attacking. And they just need somebody to ask, how you doing? Can I pray with you? And to pray for that, to see God's provision to come in and do something great, to answer that prayer of faith. So I want to challenge you this morning. I may or may not come back up and pray. I don't know. We'll see. I think we'll have another worship song in a little bit. But I want to encourage you, let God lead you in this. It may be the person next to you, maybe somebody else. Would you just, let's take some time and ask someone how they're doing this morning. How can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? Would you take time to do that? I don't know anything better we could do with the next several minutes. So let's take some time. Just ask somebody. Maybe somebody that you have no clue what their life is like. And just to say, what's going on? Maybe it's a praise, you know, that you can give. But let's pray for each other this morning.